Welcome to the fourth shiur in our four-part series about life after death in Judaism. We have already discussed the topic of reincarnation, the topic of physical resurrection, of Tchiyat HaMeitim, as well as the question of why the Torah emphasizes this worldly reward and punishment more than the afterlife. And now we'll close with one last topic. And the question will be, to what degree the religious individual can use Olam Haba, the notion of the world to come, as a motivation? Is this a noble motivation for doing the vote for observance? Is this a selfish kind of motivation? How should we think about thinking about Olam Haba when it comes to motivation for halakhic observance? Now, before we discuss Olam Haba per se, we probably should discuss the nature of motivation for mitzvot in general. And Judaism has a whole range of different ways of thinking about what's the best motivation and what is a lesser motivation for religious observance. So the classic source to start with is a famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. In fact, the very third Mishnah of all of Avot. In that very third Mishnah, we have the following. I don't know if you have the source sheet I sent, but if one does, this is source one. Antignos isocho kibel mishimon hatzadik. Antignos said the following. Al tiyuk avadim hamishamshim et harav amanat lakabel pras. Don't be like those servants that serve the master in order to receive a reward. Ela havel kavadim hamishamshim et harav shelo amanat lakabel pras. Rather, be like those servants who serve the master, not to receive a reward. Here, Antignos contrasts two ways of observance. And he says the ideal is not to serve God for the sake of a reward, but to serve God as an independent ideal, as a good in its own right. This is the ideal. And this is something that goes through many sources. Indeed, the Gemara in Sotah on Chaf Bet says there are seven prushim. And it's clear in the Gemara that the seven prushim is being used negatively. It's seven negative kinds of religious motivation. And then he says, prosh me ahava, prosh me yira. The one who abstains, the one who is observant, due to fear or due to love. And here the Gemara is being negative about it. Now, of course, this should raise some eyebrows, because normally we think of service out of love or out of fear as the ideal. And indeed, another Gemara in Masechet Sotah says that explicitly. There's a Gemara in Sotah in Lamed Aleph that says that the ideal is to serve God out of love and fear. It says that it tells a story of two students. And it says, one served God out of love, one served God out of fear. And the Gemara is very quite clear. It says that they're both tzaddikim gemurim. In the language of the Gemara in Sotah Lamed Aleph, Tavayi Abanan Tzaddiki Gemuriyaton. You are both holy righteous. So clearly, love out of fear, love, serving God out of love and out of fear, there is considered an ideal. And Rashi explains that there's an obvious distinction to be made. It depends, what are we talking about? Love of what and fear of what? Namely, if one serves God out of love of God and reverence for God, and here your eye is not fear, but awe and reverence, that when I'm in the presence of someone I admire, I'm not nervous because they might hurt me, but I'm nervous because I am in awe of them. So that's the ideal. The Gemara in Sotah Lamed Aleph is calling you holy righteous if you serve God out of love of God or reverence for God. The Gemara in Sotah Chaf Bet that is less happy about me'ava mi'ira is talking about love of a human being and fear for a human being. Clearly that is a less ideal motivation. Someone who only is observant for the sake of winning someone else's affection. We would not consider this an ideal motivation. However, it should be pointed out that the same Gemara in Sotah, which talks about me'ava or mi'ira, love and fear of a human being less than ideal, that very Gemara says, no, don't put it on a list of negative things, because, in a famous quote, lo'lam yasok adam b'torah u'mitzvot shelo lishma. It's even good to be involved in religious observance for non-ideal motivations. Shemitoch shelo lishma b'alishma. Because non-ideal motivations will lead to ideal motivations. And here, the Abaye seems to be assuming that if you act the right way, it has an impact on the personality. So a personality who undertakes religious observance, even for an ulterior motive, will be impacted upon, will be affected by all that observance, and will come to a superior motive. So to sum up what we have so far, we seem to have the following gradation. Right? The ideal motivation for serving God would not be to get personal reward or benefit, but rather due to love of God or reverence for God's awesomeness. It's lesser to serve God for ulterior motives, love and fear of a human being, yet we can countenance that on some level because that less than ideal motivation has a value and may lead to ideal motivation as well. One more category should be mentioned, and then we will proceed to the question of Olam Haba, the world to come, as a motivation. And the last category is as follows. There is a Gemara in Tanit on Dav Zion. It's on number 4 on the sheet. And the Gemara in Tanit says that lo lishma, ulterior motives, are not just lesser, less than ideal, but are wholly problematic. It says if you're involved in Torah lishma, kalosek patera lishma, torato nase lo sam chayim. Your Torah is a drug of life. It's a medicine that gives life. However, kalosek patera shelo lishma, if you're involved in Torah for non-noble motivations, nase lo sam hamavet. It becomes a draught of death, a poison. Now this Gemara is highly negative about Shalom Lishma. Not like the source we saw before, that it's less than ideal, but yet can still be positive. Here we have a wholly negative evaluation. And Tosfos explains that one will have to differentiate between different kinds of Shalom Lishma. And Tosfos says there's a Shalom Lishma, a non-noble motivation for honor or wealth. That's one kind of non-noble motivation. And there's a non-noble motivation, lekanter, in order to vex somebody. Imagine that a number of us decide to learn. So some might do it for ideal motivations. They love God, they want to learn His Torah. Some might do it because they want to get recognition. They're smart, they like it when everyone says you made a good comment. So that is not ideal, but nor is it wicked. But that's the lo lishma that has a place. That is the low lishma that leads to higher ideals, that leads to lishma. Finally, however, there's someone who only learns who can ask embarrassing questions to trip up others. Here we are not talking about a neutral motivation, but a wholly negative motivation, and that is what the Gemara means when it says it becomes a sam hamavet, a draught of death, a poison as it were. So now we have three levels of motivation. Again, the highest, serving God out of love of God or reverence for God. The lowest, perhaps something we can't even countenance, serving God in order to be a troublemaker, by learning Torah in order to ask vexing questions. Then we have the middle ground of Shalom Lishma that is justified. Serving God for wealth and honor, which is not ideal, but has its place. We can't always be on the most ideal plane. And this less noble motivation indeed leads to a more noble performance eventually. Now let us raise the question of where does Olam Haba fit in? Let us say we now know what happens when a person learns or does mitzvot for honor or recognition, or for wealth. But what if a person wants the rewards of the world to come? He picks up a lulav and thinks, this is great, I will get reward for this in Olam Haba. Is that analogous to the middle level of Shalom Lishma? Non-ideal, but has a place? Or is this somehow more problematic? Or somehow better? Maybe it's better. So let us closely look at the sources that talk about Shalom Lishma, non-ideal motivations. So if we look at them, most of the examples are very disworldly. Let us look at the Gemara Nedarim, Samach Bet, on source 5. The Gemara Nedarim says, Shalom Yomar Adam. How does one love God? Well, don't say as follows. Ekre, let me learn. Shiekreuni chacham. I want to get a reward in this world. I want to be called a sage. Or eshne, shiekreuni rebbe. I will learn so that I'll be called, I'll get a title. People like titles. Maybe I'll learn for the title, for the smicha. Or eshanein sheyezakein v'eshev yeshiva. Right? Or I'll learn to be a respected elder. Ela lamar lomed me ahava. Rather, learn from love. So here again we have the ideal being performance out of love of God, but we also have a list of less than ideal motivations, all this will be, to get a title, to get recognition. Olam Haba is not there. Now again, one could say the Gemara happened to mention it. Or maybe the Gemara is trying to say that Olam Haba is a different kind of motivation. However, there's another source that's quite similar, which simply lumps together Olam Haba with all these others as a non-ideal motivation. And that is the Sifri, the Halachic Medrash in Dvarim. It is Sifri in Dvarim Mem Aleph, and has a very similar reading to that Gemara in Dvarim. Again, commenting on a passage about loving God, the Sifri says, Shema Tomar, lest you will say, Hareini Lomei Torah B'Shvil She'er Shir. I'd like to study Torah that I will become wealthy. B'Shvil Ekra, B'Shvil She'akabel Schar Lolam Haba. B'Shvil She'ekla Rebbe. I want to be called Rebbe. By the way, it's a little bit hard to understand how you want to learn Torah to get wealthy, but let's assume that's your motivation. So maybe you'll say, I learned Torah to get wealth, or I learned Torah to be called a Rebbe, or I learned Torah Kedesha Kabel Schar Lolam Haba, that I should get reward in the world to come. I might think any of those three things. Talmud Loma Lahavat Hashem Elokeichem. Love God. Do it, kol shakem osim, lo tu osim elam yahava. Do it out of love. Now here in this Sifri in Dvarim, we have an exact equation between Olam Haba as a motivation, and wealth, and titles, and recognition. So it would seem, according to the Sifri, that learning or doing mitzvot for Olam Haba is the exact same as doing it for reward. In this world, namely, it's the middle level. Non-ideal, but it has its place. Indeed, this seems to be the position of the Rambam as well. The Rambam was very interested in the issue of purity of motivation. He talks about it at length, both in his classic halakhic work, the Mishnah Torah, and in his commentary on the Mishnah, in his introduction to the last parak of Sanhedrin, which is in fact the same place where he lists the 13 principles of faith. And the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Yud Halacha Aleph, is quite clear. He says, Al Yomar Adam, don't say, Hareini oseh mitzvot ha-Torah, I'm going to engage in mitzvot, voseh b'chachmata, and learn Torah, kidei she'akabel kol ha-brachot ha-ktuvot ba. So that I will get all the brachot. As we spoke about last week, these brachot are physical bounty. O kidei she'eskeh l'chayei olam haba. Or so that I should merit to get to the world to come. Here again, the Rambam is equating physical bounty with the world to come. They are both what you should not say. They are not the ideal motivation. And indeed he says, Ein ra'ui la'avodat Hashem b'derech zeh. It's not really appropriate to serve God in this fashion. Sha'orei ha'derech zeh, ovei mira. This is service out of fear, not awe and reverence, fear of punishment or reward, or desire for reward. Ve'ina malat hanviyim v'lo malat ha'chachamim. This is not the high level of the prophets or the sages. So if we would close the shiur right now, it would seem that wanting otherworldly reward is no different than wanting this worldly reward. The Sifri juxtaposes the two. The Rambam juxtaposes the two. Both the Sifri and the Rambam talk about it as a regular shalom lishma. It's like wanting a title. It's like wanting to get wealthy. It's like wanting honor. And indeed, there is a certain logic to this position. After all, if I want to get reward in Olam Haba, it seems that it's about a certain selfishness. My goal is basically self-serving. I want to achieve something. I want to get something. That is not the most ideal, the most idealistic motivation. And indeed, this is given very concrete expression by Rav Kook. Rav Kook has a fascinating comment in a work called Ored HaKodesh. This is Chela Gimel, page Kuf Samach Zayin, page 167. For those of you who have my sheet, it's on page 9. And Rav Kook does something fascinating, because he relates to the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim. In the beginning of Mesilat Yesharim, the classic Musar work by Rav Lutzato, so Rav Lutzato talks about the goal of life. And he talks about the goal of life being trying to achieve the joy of basking in the divine radiance. That is the goal of life, the goal of religious man. And from that perspective, perhaps making it to Olam Haba is where it's at. Right? Olam Haba is where everyone gets to enjoy the closeness with divinity. So Rav Kook says as follows, really a remarkable quote. Kishanu matchilim b'mesilat yesharim. When we start, when we read that first section of the Path of the Just, of the classic Musar work, Mesilat Yesharim, l'mod shiyesod ha-chasidut, to learn that the foundation of piety, hu shahadam lo nivra el taneg al Hashem, that man was only created to enjoy God, V'lehanot miziv hashchina, and to bask, to get joy, to get benefit from the divine radiance, to get benefit from the divine radiance. What is our reaction when we learn this as Rav Kook? Nisaleid hachush hamusari shalanu. Right, there's a stepping back, a recoil. Our ethical sense recoils. Why? Why should our ethical sense recoil this? Mifnei ha-egoismus. Because of the ego. Va'avat ha-tanug shev yesod hazeh. And the love of pleasure. Says Rav Kook, from one perspective, right, one thing, the joys of Olam Haba, is also a egotistic and selfish motivation. And this is perhaps what the Rambam is saying. Right, Rav Kook says there's a problem with this aspect of Mesilat Yesharim. He has trouble understanding it. Now, we'll have to see in a second if there's a way to justify what the Mesilat Yesharim says. Presumably there is, right? Rav Lutzato says such a thing. But Rav Kook's argument gives more weight to the Rambam. So now we have a lot of weight on one side of the equation here. We have the Rambam and the Sefer equating one thing, Olam Haba, with other non-noble motivations. We have Rav Kook and Ohr HaKodesh giving an argument to that effect. And this seems to be the direction things are heading. However, there are some sources that might indicate another approach. Let us take a look at a Gemara in Masechet Pesachim. If you have a sheet, it's source number 8. And the Gemara in Pesachim says something that might suggest an alternative approach. The Gemara in Pesachim says as follows. HaOmer, someone who says, Sera Zulut Staka, I would like to give a coin to charity. Wonderful mitzvah. What is the motivation of this person? Bishvil sheyichye b'ni, so that my son will live. God forbid the person's child is sick. He's giving charity for that motivation. O she'eye ben olam haba, or so that I will be a member of the world to come. What happens if you give charity in that motivation? Hareza tzadik gamur. You are wholly righteous. A total tzaddik. The Gemara in Pesachim would seem to indicate against the Rambam and the Sifri and Rav Kook, we saw before. Here it says, giving charity for the sake of reward still leaves one in the camp of tzaddik gamur, of the holy righteous. So perhaps this will suggest another approach that differs from that of Rambam. However, it should be pointed out, there might be ways for Rambam to neutralize the force of this Gemara. And here we're going to look at three different readings of this Gemara. So this Gemara appears in a few places. I mentioned that it's in Pesachim, Dafchet. It also appears in Rosh Hashanah, Daftalad. On the side of the Vilna Shas and Rosh Hashanah, Daftalad, there is a fascinating little textual emendation by Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel was a very early Rishon, even before Rashi from North Africa. And he says, he quotes this Gemara, if you give charity so that you get the Olam Haba, Hareza Tzadikam, where you're holy righteous. And then he says, the Yesh Mefarshim, that others have it, Harezu Tztaka Gmura. Just adding a little, hey there. Not Tzadikam, or Tztaka Gmura, but it changes everything. According to Rabbeinu Hanane, the Gemara is not commenting on the religious stature of the person. It's commenting on the charity. If you give charity for non-noble motivations, it's still full-fledged charity. You cannot deny you give him staka. But that in no way is a statement that this is the ideal level of religious observance. So now, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, this Gemara is no longer a problem for the Rambam. It seemed that this Gemara indicates that one thing, Olam Haba, is a holy, noble motivation. Comes along Rabbeinu Hananel and says, no, the Gemara is not describing you as a tzaddik gamur, a totally righteous fellow. The Gemara is describing the charity, the money you gave to the poor, as staka gmura. It is holy charity. Okay? There is another way to neutralize the Gemara that is, I must admit, is quite surprising on a language level. I mentioned that this Gemara is in both Pesachim and Rosh Hashanah. If we go back to Pesachim and look at the famous commentary of Rabbeinu Nisim, the Ran on the Gemara, he says as follows. He says, Mida mula biyoter, what's the highest level? Sheyu ovdim me'ahava. That you will serve God out of love. V'afiluhachi, even so, even though the highest level is to serve God out of love. Ha'oved kidesh yisker chay olam haba. If you serve to get to olam haba, as this Gemara says, tzadik gomruhu aval lo chasid. You are wholly righteous, but you are not pious. Now, this is quite a surprising reading, one must admit. Usually, we would think Tzadik Gamur is the highest level there is. What could be better than Holy Righteous? Rabbeinu Nissim, the Ran would like to have it, that Tzadik Gamur is lower than a Chassid, lower than being pious. So the Gemara is not saying that you're on the highest level. So now we have two reasons to suggest that this Gemara is not against Rambam. Again, Rambam says doing mitzvot for Olam Haba is just like doing mitzvot for reward or recognition in this world. The Gemara in Psachim said that if you give charity for Olam Haba, you're a tzaddik gamur, apparently against Rambam. We've now seen two ways to neutralize this point against Rambam. You could say, like Rabbeinu Hananel, that the word is not tzaddik gamur, but tzedakah gemura. The Gemara is commenting on the charity, not on your religious status. Or one could say, like Rabbeinu Nissim says, that you are tzaddik gamur is not the highest level. Surprisingly, tzaddik gamur is not as like being a chassid. This is really not the most ideal motivation. I'd like to mention one more interpretation before we turn to perhaps suggesting that there might be a way to view Olam Haba as an ideal motivation. And there's a fascinating interpretation which I think has a lot of implications in Tosfot and Psachim. If you have a sheet, it's there on the fourth part of Source 8. Tosfot and Psachim asks the question that all the commentaries ask. How could the Gemara say that doing mitzvot, giving charity for Olam Haba, is an ideal, is tzaddik gamur? Isn't it against the famous statement of Antignos? Don't be like those servants who serve God for the sake of a reward. So Tosfot says as follows. What did Antignos mean when he said, don't be like those servants? Hainu b'ki ha'gavna, that's someone who acts in the following way. She'im lo tavolo oto atova, shehu mitzapeh. Let's say the personal benefit he's aspiring to, that he's trying to achieve, does not come. He does the mitzvah, but does not get the personal benefit. He then regrets giving the charity. That is what the model that Antignos was not happy about. Let's say you had a non-noble motivation, but when it doesn't come to fruition, you don't regret giving the charity. You are wholly righteous. Now here, Tosfot, I think, is telling us a very profound point. And the point here is as follows. Very often in life, we have double motivations. We have mixed motivation for doing something. What some modern philosophers call overdetermination. More than one thing is leading you to do something. Let us say we give charity. So it's true, we do it for the mitzvah. We think it's very important to listen to God, to support the poor. And yet, at the same time, we'd like to get honored at the shul dinner. We'd like to have our name on the wall. But we have both motivations working together. Says Tosfot, how to evaluate that is still not clear. The fundamental moment of truth is as follows. What happens if you give all that charity and no one takes notice? So we can easily imagine two possible reactions. In one reaction, the person says, I regret giving every shekel, every penny. I wish I had my money back. In that case, then that is not the service of God we want. That's what Antignos said, do not be like those servants that serve God for the sake of a reward. However, let us say the person says, I really wish I had gotten the plaque, I'd gotten honored at the shul dinner, but I'm content with having given charity. Then you are indeed a tzaddik gamur. Now, according to, I think we can understand the distinction, and I think Tosfot is psychologically very helpful, because the alternative is to search for a purity of motivation that might really not be feasible for the average person, or maybe not feasible for anybody, right? To demand that someone has no personal benefit at all as a motivating force in their performance of mitzvot really is a harsh demand, and maybe even an inhuman demand. According to Tosfot, the ideal we strive for is not that there's no personal motivation whatsoever, but rather the personal motivation is not crucial. The person would be satisfied with doing the mitzvah proper, even if the personal benefit does not happen. So I think this does not help us vis-a-vis the Olam Haba question necessarily, but I think Tosfot is a very profound point about motivation that's worthy of thinking about. We don't have to strive for absolute purity, but we should have enough of an idealistic motivation that an alternative motivation would not be a problem. So the truth is, Tosfot would also be a way to justify Rambam. One could still say that Olam Haba is not ideal, But having Olam Haba plus the ideal motivation could still be Tzadik Gemur, could still be ideal. At this point, we still have not seen an approach that would explicitly reject Rambam's position. And now we'll turn to two very different thinkers who do so. And it's quite fascinating. We're talking about people from the Rishonim, the end of the Rishonim. We're going to talk about the Abarbanel, by Don Isaac Abarbanel, the famous biblical commentary, biblical commentator, who lived in Spain in the late 1400s and then moved on to other countries in the late 1400s and early 1500s. And we're going to talk about a Hasidic figure who died in 1900, Rav Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin, a fascinating figure who we will return to. Both of them take issue with Rambam, but do it in quite different ways. Abarbanel, who's well known for his commentary on the Torah, has several other works, including a commentary on Pirkei Avot called the Nachlat Avot. Very, very fascinating commentary. In the Nachlat Avot, he's discussing that Mishnah, the Mishnah with which Antigonus Isocho says, don't serve God out of the desire for reward. Don't be like those servants who serve God for God, doing it for reverence for God, not for this worldly benefit, not even for other worldly benefit. Now, the Abarbanel does not seem about Shelo Lishma motivations. He points out that in the Psukim of Chumash, Chumash itself talks a lot about reward and punishment. Apparently, it's not so bad. Look at Chumash talking about doing it and getting rain and crops and defeating your enemies. Apparently, service of God for reward is not the end of the world. Now, Rambam, of course, might say that, okay, this is not the ideal motivation, but it's a possible motivation. But the Abarbanel wants to argue it's not so, Shelo Lishma might be okay. Maybe it's not an issue to want reward. He also makes a fascinating language point. Let's read Antigonus carefully. He says, don't be like those servants who serve God for the sake of reward, but be like those servants who serve God not for reward, not for press. Points out the Abarbanel, servants tend to not serve at a love of their master. That does not seem to be the normal motivation for a servant's service. If that's true, Antigonus does not select a good image to convey what the Rambam wants him to convey. Right? What do you mean, be like those servants who serve God not for the sake of reward? But why use servant imagery? So Abarbanel says, maybe Rambam is not correct in his reading of Antigonus. Abarbanel also seems to be a bit more pessimistic about humanity. He seems to think that humanity really just needs these non-noble motivations. Right? That should be the norm. That should be the standard. So the Abarbanel has another reading of the Mishnah in Avot. According to the Abarbanel, Avot is not telling me to not think of reward when I serve God. Rather, it's differentiating between different kinds of rewards. Again, it says, don't be like those servants who serve al-manat l'kabel pras, to receive a pras. But maybe pras is a specific kind of reward. Don't be like those that serve God for a pras. Be like those that serve God not for a pras, but perhaps for something else. And here Abarbanel gives two readings. One reading is, pras means this worldly reward. Don't serve God for this worldly reward. Rather, serve God not for this worldly reward, namely for other worldly reward. If that's true, Antigonus would be differentiating between reward and wealth in this world as a motivation, and otherworldly motivations, desiring Olam Haba. Now that, of course, raises the question, what is the logic of the distinction? So we'll see something, I think, more profound in Rav Tzadok. In the Abarbanel, it seems to me, it's just that what is better, it's more long-lasting. He talks about this worldly reward as something that doesn't go on. Hema yovedu vatatamot. Those rewards are ephemeral. But you live on. It seems like the difference between Olam Hazeh, this worldly rewards, and Olam Haba rewards is really more one of quantity. The other worldly rewards are better. Therefore, don't serve God for the sake of this worldly rewards, but rather for other worldly rewards. This is the first reading of Abarbanel. Abarbanel is the second reading, which perhaps might be slightly more idealistic, any reward, because we already have such a debt to the divinity, to God, that we have to serve God just to pay our debt, just out of gratitude. God made the world, He created us, He sustains us. That is sufficient motivation for serving God without looking to the future at all. Let us see where we are now before we turn to Rav Tzadok. So now we have the Abarbanel arguing with Rambam. Again, Rambam's reading of Antigonus says, don't think of any reward for serving God, The ideal is love of God, reverence for God, not this worldly reward, nor otherworldly reward. We have a Barbanel saying, no, reward is something that's normal, might even be ideal. Antigonus is doing one of two things. Either he's saying, don't serve God for this worldly reward, do it for otherworldly reward, because that is superior, it's more enduring. Or don't serve God for reward at all, do it out of gratitude for all he's done for us in the past. Okay, let us see if there's another way to go. Is there perhaps a more ideal reading of serving God for the sake of reward? So now we turn to Rav Tzedek HaKohen from Lublin. Rav Tzedek is a fascinating figure. He's someone who grew up as a misnagid, and due to personal reasons, he had to travel across Europe meeting with various rabbanim, and he met the Me'ah Shiloach, the Ishbitzer. And that meeting had a profound effect on him, and he became a chassid and a student of the Ishbitzer. And he left a tremendous volume of Svarim, really, really fascinating material. I'm now going to quote from his work called Divrei Sofrim, Ot Daled. It is the fourth piece in Divrei Sofrim. Rav Tzedek agrees with the Barbanel on one point, that pras means this worldly reward. And Antigonos is only rejecting serving God for recognition or honor or wealth in this world as less than ideal, but is not rejecting serving God for Olam Haba. However, his distinction is a little bit different. Rav Tzedek says as follows, even within performing mitzvot for Olam Haba, there's a distinction to be made. And here is beautiful language. He says, Kam ze kasha kavana rak legarme. The kavana is for me. I could think of Olam Haba as me winning. Sheye ben Olam Haba. I want to make it to Olam Haba. The Shiarichimim, I want to long life for Olam Haba. The Shielo Tov, I want it to be good for me. The Bezeh enaf kamina ben pas to Olam Hazeh Olam Haba. At that point, there's no distinction between this worldly reward and otherworldly reward. Meaning, I can have a very this worldly take on Olam Haba. I might say, why do I want to make it to Olam Haba? Because there they have the best pastrami sandwiches. Or there, I like to win contests. I want to be a contest winner. I got to win it and go to Olam Haba. That is treating Olam Haba as just like a reward in Olam Hazeh. And indeed, it is not the ideal motivation. However, says Rav Tzedek, there's another way to think about Olam Haba. And the other way is, Aval Mashu Ikar Olam Haba, that is the essence of Olam Haba, the Nenim Miziv HaShchina. You're benefiting, you're enjoying the divine radiance. Zeru Rav Hanat Garmei. This is not a selfish joy. L'schar kaze yesh litzapot. You can yearn. You can aspire for such a reward. V'zeu l'shma gamor. This is the most noble motivation. Says Rav Tzedek, wanting certain things is not by definition non-noble. If let's say someone loves to help people, and they want to help people, that's not a non-noble motivation. That motivation shows something very pure about them. A religious individual who wants to come close to God, that's a pure motivation. A religious individual who says, I want to win the contest and get to Olam Haba, or I want to get the best steak possible in Olam Haba, then indeed it's a non-noble motivation. However, the religious individual who yearns for the divine radiance, wants to get close to God, wants to understand the metaphysical truths, this indeed is the purest of motivations. Antigonus was only rejecting the pras of a mundane conception of Olam Haba, not of an exalted conception of Olam Haba. I think Rav Tzedek has made a very profound point there. Quite fascinatingly, I found echoes of this point, or parallels to this point, in two other sources. One is in the writings of Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and one is in a very famous a 20th century Christian. Rav Soloveitchik makes the similar distinction in his work Uvikashta Misham. And this is in Uvikashta Misham, page 175. And Rav Soloveitchik says as follows. Like Rav Tzedek, he says there are two ways to think about the world to come. One way, he says, is that the ultimate life of Olam Haba is not a direct result of life in this world. But it's like an independent gift. Like I did something, and I get a gift. That is treating Olam Haba reward very much like Olam Hazeh rewards. However, there's another model, says Rav Soloveitchik. In the other model, he says, Chai HaNetzach, eternal life, It's the natural outgrowth of a life stamped by Torah in this world. Namely, what's life about in this world? The religious individual tries to adhere to the God's word and wants to come close to God. So Olam Haba is just a furthering of that goal. Right? I've tried as hard as to achieve a good relationship with God in this world. I look forward to Olam Haba as a way to further that goal in a more deep and a more profound way. From that perspective, Olam Haba is not an artificial reward. It's a natural continuation of the religious quest in this world. And indeed, says of salvation, Lo l'chinam himshilu chazal Shabbat l'olam haba. It is not for naught that our sages compare Shabbos to Olam Haba. Shabbos gives us a sense of trying to connect to divinity. We want to further that. That's not a selfish motivation. That is a pure motivation. That would be l'shma. Now, Rav Soloveitchik's terminology is not exactly like Reb Tzadok. Rav Soloveitchik talks about an artificial gift versus a natural continuity of religious life. Where Rav Tzadok talks about selfish motivation versus the purest motivation of wanting to come close to God. But I think the distinction basically is the same. Before I move back to Rambam, and we'll close this year, I'd like to quote some beautiful passages from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was a very interesting fellow. He has three different types of writings. Perhaps most famous, he has a fantasy series for children, The Chronicles of Narnia. He also wrote books about English literature. But he also was the most popular defender of religion in the 20th century. Many, many books explaining religion in a very profound way. And I would suggest, despite his Christian background, much of what he says is quite relevant to the Jewish community. Much of what he says is relevant to us Jews. So Lewis twice says as follows. He's nervous. He understands that people might say that if you want Olam Haba, then there's something problematic. So Lewis, both in a book called The Problem of Pain, page 145, and in The Weight of Glory, page 4, Lewis says you have to differentiate between two different rewards. He says there are different kinds of rewards. There is the reward which has no natural connection with the things you do to earn it, and is quite foreign to the desires that ought to accompany those things. There's a reward, again, notice how similar this is to Rav Soloveitchik, that is artificial, that doesn't naturally have to do with the endeavor. Money is not the natural reward of love. Now, if he marries a woman for the sake of her money. Again, we would say if you marry a spouse, a husband, or a wife for the sake of money, there's something very mercenary about it. It's your low lishma. However, let's say someone says, I'm marrying this chick. We might not call that mercenary, because that's what marriage is all about. Marriage is about a loving relationship. Even though you're hoping to get something out of it, but the thing you're hoping to get is exactly what the endeavor is all about. That would not be Shelo Lishma. And then Lewis at the end says something quite beautiful. He says, the proper rewards are not simply tacked on to the activity for which they are given. I mean, a real reward, the authentic reward, is not artificially an artificial addition, but are the activity itself in consummation. Rather, the reward is the ultimate furthering of the activity. It's the activity hitting a pinnacle. Right? If you marry for money, money is an artificial inducement. That's not what it's about. If you marry for love, love is the pinnacle. That is the activity itself in consummation. If we take Lewis's words and go back to our question, so it would seem that Rav Soloveitchik and Lewis are making the exact same point. When Rav Soloveitchik said, if it's an artificial additional reward, not viewed as a continuation of my religious quest, that's Shelo Lishma. But if I want it as a furthering of what it's all about, meaning my whole religious life has been to achieve closeness to God, to understand Kedusha. So wanting that in Olam Haba is not a non-noble motivation. It is the activity itself in consummation. Let me sum up what we've done thus far, and then I'll return to the Rambam and perhaps have 2 minutes for questions. So far in the class, we've talked about levels of motivation. We made a gradation of 3 levels. Right? The best motivation is to serve God for love of God or reverence for God. The problematic motivation, a bit their motivation would be to serve God for negative reasons. I want to learn Torah to ask someone embarrassing questions or vexing questions. We talk about a middle level where I serve God for reward, for money, or for recognition, for honor, where it's not ideal, it's not lishma, yet it has its place. Right? The Torah does not only demand ideal motivation all the time. So that was the model we set up. We then asked, where does one thing Olam Haba fit into the scale? And we pointed out that some sources seem to treat one thing Olam Haba as the equivalent of one thing rewards in this world. That was the Sifri and Ekev. That was the Rambam and Hilchot Tshuva. And then one thing this worldly rewards and one thing otherworldly rewards are the same. They are both the middle level. Not ideal, but they have their place. However, Rav Tzadok and Rav Soloveitchik and Lewis has expressed this very profoundly, have argued that it depends how I think about Olam Haba. If I think about Olam Haba as a reward in a this-worldly fashion, then it's not ideal. If I want to come close to God as a furthering of my religious quest, that is indeed an ideal motivation. If we return to the Gemara and Psachim that I quoted, we now no longer need any of the other answers. If you recall, the Gemara and Psachim said if you give charity for the sake of becoming, of meriting Olam Haba, you are tzadik gomor. You are wholly righteous. We thought this was a problem for Rambam, and indeed we saw ways to neutralize this point. Maybe it's not tzadik gomor, but tzadka gomora. Maybe tzadik gomor is not such a high level. Maybe it's not the same level as a chassid. We saw Tosfot. Maybe it's only tzadik gomor when we have double motivation, over-determination. You have a good motivation and this other motivation. However, according to Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Tzadok, we no longer need to give those answers. We could say you are a tzaddik gemur as long as you're thinking about Olam Haba in the proper fashion. Now let us return to the Rambam. We seem to have seen so far that the Rambam demands real purity of motivation. Right? If you want to be an ideal server of God, you want to be like the Nevi'im and the Chachamim, as he says in the beginning of the last paragraph of Hilchot Tshuva, you will serve God out of love, not for the sake of a reward in this world, and not for the sake of a reward in the world to come. So at this point, you might think that according to Rambam, there really is no value in yearning for Olam Haba. However, that is not the case. And it's quite fascinating that in the very same Hilchot Tshuva, the laws of repentance, Rambam strikes a different note. Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva Perchet Halacha Zayin explains how he envisions the world to come. This is something we discussed in our second meeting here. We discussed the fact that the Rambam sees Olam Haba as non-corporeal. And then the Rambam in that same chapter in Perchet Halacha Zayin says, Kama David, how much did David yearn, like kmiha, to aspire, to yearn? V'hit'avel chayel haba. How much did David yearn and had a desire for the life of the world to come? Shenema lule hamanti l'rod petuv Hashem b'eretz chayem. David is yearning, he's aspiring to get to the land of life in Olam Haba. Now, presumably, Rambam tells me this because he thinks it's a good thing. Because he wants me to yearn for Olam Haba. I mean, why tell me, hold up David as a model of yearning for Olam Haba, unless it's a good thing? I think what one has to say for the Rambam is as follows. One thing Olam Haba does reflect positively on the religious personality. Again, you want to come close to God, you want to understand the metaphysical truths, this is good. However, the Rambam thinks I can make a split. I want to come close to God. I want to get to Olam Haba. But yet, that's not what motivates me for doing mitzvot. When I come to do mitzvot, I throw that out totally, and I have this pure motivation, and I do it for love of God. Where it could be according to Rav Tzadok and Rav Soloveitchik, we don't have to have this split. It's not that there's two separate things. You want to get to Olam Haba, but it does not motivate you for doing mitzvot. But since one thing Olam Haba, the proper way, is noble, is ideal. Therefore, one thing to do mitzvot for those reasons is also totally ideal. And here, perhaps, we can bring the shiur to a close with an important point. It turns out that one thing, certain things for yourself, need not be selfish. Again, one thing, wealth and honor, is not an ideal. But one thing, spiritual growth, one thing, closeness to divinity, is something that perhaps could be the ideal. For Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Tzadok, one thing, Olam Haba, for those reasons, is indeed lishma, is the purest of motivation. As Lewis would have it, it is the activity of religious life itself in consummation. It's a furthering and a finalizing of the entire religious quest. That kind of conception of one thing Olam Haba could indeed be lishma, could indeed be ideal. All right, I'll leave some time here for questions. I just want to say I enjoyed learning with you in this four-part series very much. And I thank the Torah Motion staff and the technical support for their patience, and it's been a pleasure. Please, if there are any minutes for questions.